Explosions at a chemical plant near Houston have hospitalized at least 10 people. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. The plant's owners warned this would happen, and it did. There have been explosions at a chemical plant northeast of Houston, which has received 50 inches of rain in 4 days. At least 10 sheriff's deputies have been hospitalized after inhaling what the company says are non-toxic fumes. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra is here with us. Mariel, catch us up. What does this plant do?
Well, it's owned by the French chemical manufacturer, Arkema, and it makes compounds called peroxides that are used in things like acrylic paints, auto parts, countertops, cups and plates. The thing is, these chemicals that the plant works with are volatile, and they need to be kept at a certain temperature, refrigerated, or they can catch fire.
And Arkema's CEO warned that unrefrigerated, they might catch fire.
Right. Last night, he told reporters that Harvey had knocked out the plant's power and its backup generators. So the chemicals were warming up and they could explode. He said there was actually nothing the company could do to stop that from happening because the plant was sitting under 6 feet of floodwater. So the company evacuated and local officials said people who live within a 1.5 mile radius should leave. The company says there could be more explosions and fire.
This adds to a growing list of industrial and infrastructure problems resulting from this storm, huh?
Yeah. I mean, as we've been reporting, oil refineries have had to shut down. There's also news that the city of Beaumont, about 90 miles east of Houston, has lost its water supply because its main water pump was knocked out by rising floodwaters.
All right, Mariel, thank you. At least 35,000 people are in shelters in southern Texas, but in the coming days and weeks, they are going to need to find longer-term places to live. And that will be a long and frustrating process and one of the largest housing recovery missions in the nation's history. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports.
FEMA has already helped at least 1,700 families move into hotel rooms for now. Next steps for other displaced homeowners will depend on their situation. Todd Richardson at the Department of Housing and Urban Development says for many, it may be a complicated path to a place to call home.
If you don't have enough resources from your insurance company, you're going to need to put the resources together to recover.
Harvey survivors can apply for aid from FEMA. Thousands have already done that on their cell phones or at shelters. HUD also works with local partners to help find long-term housing. Houston's high rental vacancy rate, over 10%, means there's probably places to go, Richardson says.
I'm somewhat optimistic that it will be able to absorb folks that are displaced by this much better than Katrina did.
With tens of thousands of homes destroyed, housing is a priority to start Houston's economic recovery. University of North Carolina City Planning Professor Gavin Smith.
If you don't have housing, it's difficult to get to work.
As efforts shift to recovery from Harvey, it's housing first. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.6%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.2% range, with the Dow future up 50 points.
Hi, it's David Brancaccio. I wanted to let you know about some changes coming to this podcast feed Tuesday, September 5th. You'll still get the Marketplace Morning Report that you already know and listen to, and a midday update. Plus, we'll start including a new global edition of the Morning Report, hosted by the BBC's Anu Anand, that will bring you all the international business and economic news. So, thank you for listening.
You might have heard of broken windows policing. Strictly punish even small crimes because they lead, the theory goes, to bigger crimes. In the mid-1990s, New York City took that approach to the subway system. Back then, more than 10% of subway riders were jumping the turnstiles, not paying their fare. And the city sent hundreds of cops to crack down on the problem. Today, fare evasion is the most common criminal charge in Manhattan, with nearly 10,000 arrests a year. But as Marketplace's Ryan Kailath reports, that is about to change.
More than 5 million people ride New York's subway every day. Today, transit officials say just about 1% of them skip the fare. But cracking down has unintended consequences.
What we're doing isn't working.
Cyrus Vance is the district attorney of Manhattan. He says the same people are arrested for fare evasion over and over, which means jailing them isn't effective. Starting this fall, his office will no longer prosecute.
It's not a criminal justice issue. It's an economic issue.
Tina Luongo is chief defender at the Legal Aid Society. She says fare evasion is a crime of poverty. most offenders have had to choose between paying for the subway or paying for food or something else essential. On the flip side,
there is a cost, a very expensive cost, to putting somebody through the criminal justice system.
The city's independent budget office estimates that prosecuting fare evasion costs the city more than $24 million a year. It would cost roughly a tenth of that to give the offenders free subway access.
So you're paying. You may not feel it. It may not come out of your pocket right away, but you're paying for it.
D.A. Cyrus Vance says he'd rather be prosecuting more serious crimes, like domestic violence or driving under the influence. And that with turnstile jumping, the punishment doesn't fit.
If you drive down the FDR Drive at 80 miles an hour, you're going to get a speeding ticket. And if you jump over a turnstile in Midtown Manhattan, you go to jail.
Detractors have argued that halting prosecution will create a subway free-for-all. Vance disagrees. He says his office has reduced intakes for minor broken windows crimes like drinking in public by 25% in the past 4 years. And
many of the same questions were raised about, are we going to have a spike in crime if we reduce these low-level cases? The answer is we haven't. The city of Manhattan has gotten safer, and I think we've demonstrated that there is a way forward that's simply better.
Brooklyn and Queens are looking into decriminalizing fare evasion as well. In New York, I'm Ryan Kailath for Marketplace.
In other news, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission is suing Estee Lauder for discrimination against male employees. Estee Lauder companies give new mothers paid leave for childbirth recovery, and on top of that, they offer new mothers an extra 6 weeks of child bonding leave. Male employees only get 2 weeks of child bonding leave. That, according to the EEOC, violates federal law. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.